Well, the basic premise is that, first of all, that there's a deeper way of looking at America, which is that we have a higher purpose as a country. It's not simply to survive and, you know, make a little niche for ourselves, but really there's a larger mission of service. Just like every individual has a mission, a country, I believe, has a mission as well. And you can see that in a lot of our founding codes and the, you know, everything from the Declaration of Independence to the Bill of Rights to our national motto of E Pluribus Unum, out of many, one. That there's a mission to create and expand more freedom, but also to create more unity as well. And that's the part we sometimes forget, is that we need to find this higher common ground that unites us. And so I believe that countries also go through up levels to what I call our operating system. So our consciousness is evolving to the next level, and then we're creating a country that expresses that. So we go beyond slavery, and then we create more equality, and so on and so forth. And now is really the time when America is evolving into a global operating system and letting go of a lot of the things that we've been distorted around, from masculine feminine balance to a lot of our shadow around power to the excess violence in the operating system. So we still have a legacy culture where politics is based on warfare and essentially like trying to dominate other viewpoints, rather than a kind of a higher order synergy where we see the complementarity of different political positions and see that they're actually all necessary for us to go to the next level. And so that leads to a more respectful, honoring kind of way of being with each other. And I think it ultimately roots us in a more sacred understanding of our country and of the world.
Well, it seems though the current political system that we're in, and what happened on Wednesday, where we had lawmakers actually staging a sit-in over gridlock happening in Washington, how do we get to there from here?
Well, I think there's a lot of elements. I mean, first of all, I think we have to shift how we think about politics, because it's rather than the combat model, we're essentially just trying to defeat the enemy. And if we're Democrats, we're trying to defeat the Republicans, that we're actually finding, like, shifting the discourse. You know, 50 years ago, or a little bit more than that now, in 1960, American parents were asked if they would be concerned to have their child marry somebody of the opposite political party, and only 5% thought that was an area of concern. And now it's more like 50% or even higher. In 2010, it was 50%. So we've actually polarized into these kind of warring camps. And so the reason you end up with these kind of violent confrontational energies is because the camps aren't really in dialogue and working together and actually engaging in a respectful way. And that happens both at the national level, but all the way down to family level and community level, where we end up in these polarized positions. So I think it's incumbent on all of us to be the change by, first of all, engaging much more respectfully with people of different political positions and really learning from them. I call this political cross training. So I've been a strong progressive. I've supported people as far left as Denis Kucinich for president. And I believe that a lot of these, a lot of the progressive values are important and what we're moving towards. But I've also learned to that a lot of the conservative value system is really helpful to hold the society together, to provide the kind of balancing function and help us to create, you know, a stability and order, and that's actually part of our cultural evolution. So instead of seeing it as oppositional, it's more like complementarity. So if we're extrapolating that to the national stage, it's like, I think there's a power in standing up for what we want to see. But can we do that while also really listening to the serious concerns of others and to find those higher solutions? Because ultimately, the solutions that really work are the ones that everybody gets on board with eventually. So we have to, democracy is built on a deeper listening, not simply imposing our views on others, but by actually integrating them into a larger whole. So I don't know that I don't have the exact solution with gun control, but what I do know is that we need to have like a much deeper level of inquiry, serious inquiry about how do we create sufficient freedom and sufficient rights for the individual and sufficient safety for the whole. And right now it's stuck in very polarized camps. But if we say we want to create a safer and more secure America and we're all aligned with that, then to really engage in a deep inquiry at a leadership level, that actually starts to open up possibilities that we don't have right now.
You've really talked a lot there about interpersonal skills and bringing it back to the individual level and listening. Now, that's a skill that we are not actually taught this. We're not taught that. And yet, if you look at what we are taught in schools, you know, how much time are we spending learning algebra or trigonometry or geometry, which the vast majority of people don't use every day? Listening is something we should be using every day. Does this come back to how we learn these basic communication skills so we can listen to each other? And then hopefully that might trickle up to a national platform.
I agree. You know, there's a lot of research now that success in business and many other arenas is very dependent on our social and emotional intelligence, much more so than our actual regular IQ. It's our EQ that really determines whether we're successful. And that's partially because a lot of the world runs on human interaction. And so those aren't skills that we've traditionally trained. We've kind of come out of a very mechanistic model of education that we're going to force a bunch of information and get people to learn that information. But the emotional skills and social intelligence actually is in many ways more important. So whether that's conflict transformation skills or being able to really deeply listen or to be able to take the position of the other and argue for their side of the case. It helps to create more social glue. And so we have a lot of fragmentation in our country right now, partially because we're trained in asserting our individual will more strongly and not listening necessarily to other folks. And so it does have to start at the grassroots level from education systems, but it's something that we can all practice.